Troy Rank is our Denver 7 insider. He's presented by ROX Rocks Heating and Air. Good morning, Troy.
What's up, guys? How are you?
We're doing really good. So we had one candidate drop out of the race right now. How do you handicap this race for the GM? And how do you see, who do you think is the front runner right now?
Well, based on experience and what he's done in the league, the slight front runner would have to be George Payton from the Minnesota Vikings. Now, he's been had opportunities to lead before, including with Cleveland last year, and was not comfortable that Haslam wouldn't meddle, so he removed himself from that search. He's a strong candidate in with the Detroit Lions this year, but I would give him, make him a slight favor. Obviously, Champ Kelly interviewed well. He's certainly in the mix, and Terry Fontenot, who's a strong candidate in Atlanta, interviewed well. Brian Stark did too, the in-house guy, but again, when you're saying that this whole thing is about a fresh set of eyes, the optics of staying in-house would be almost impossible. So it's those three now. They're reassessing to see, do they move forward with a second interview with those three? Maybe four, but likely those three, or do they need to expand the search to a few more names? Because right now, I still think they're going to try to get this done by early to midweek, but no other, you know, vacancies are filling. So they still have a little bit of time here if they want to interview more candidates.
So what qualifies as a strong interview? I mean, what do you got to do to have a strong interview? Like, hey, I'm sure whatever you guys are doing is correct. Yeah, I love the direction you go. I mean, what is a strong interview? Because I think I would come in and say, no, I don't like anything you've done.
Yeah, I mean, you have to have a clear plan on how you're going to make them better and a philosophy to how to implement that plan. And I mean, you're being sarcastic to some degree, but I think you have to tell them the reason I'm interviewing is because you're not very good. And here's the ideas I think can turn this thing around. I mean, let's look at, you know, kind of the sobering analysis of the roster, the turnovers, the issues you've had for better part of two seasons. And I see some, you know, intriguing talent offensively that's young, but I see a defense that needs to add probably 3 to 4 starters and this person has to be assured that he's going to be independent and have autonomy to make these daily decisions. And I don't think Elway's going to meddle with that. I don't. Now, he's going to be involved kind of in this consultant role on big decisions. But ultimately, if you want to try to change, you have to let the GM be the final voice on this stuff, or it's just not going to work.
Did Dave Ziegler use the Broncos to get a promotion from Belichick and the Patriots?
I mean, not necessarily. It didn't hurt that he had some leverage that he was interviewing. But when Casario left to the Texans, which, again, if we think the Broncos situation is weird, the Texans are in complete dysfunction with the way they did their GM search. But he was the next in line to that. So it wasn't like, you know, he was eighth on the food chain in New England and this one guy left and now it's like, well, I'm going to go interview and now I move up. But he was highly regarded in New England. So he had some leverage, and New England wasn't really interested in seeing two of their top executives leave in the same offseason. I don't know that Ziegler would have got the job here. I don't know that. I don't think he would have, but it didn't hurt his chance. It didn't hurt his leverage at all to interview and then have Belichick call and say, hey, with Casario gone, we'd really like you to stay. And they committed to him. They didn't give him the GM role, but they certainly made enough of a commitment for him to then call the Broncos and say he was out.
Watching Super Wildcard Weekend, Troy, your just general takeaway of how far away or how close the Broncos are to being in that mix next year?
Yeah, the Broncos are more like the Super Wildcard refs. A lot of issues. A lot of issues that need to be fixed. Again, you watch the bottom-level teams there, and they're not as far. You watch the Bears, you know. You watch the way the Steelers have played the last 6 weeks and certainly yesterday, and you see, like, those remind you of the Broncos, turnover issues, you know, tackling issues. But if you're a Broncos fan and you watch this next week in these final eight teams, you just don't see, you know, there's a gap to cover. There's ground to cover. And these teams are usually at this point, you know, Mark, because you broadcast most of these teams, they're usually a lead at one thing and then they're good at the other stuff. And the one thing that sticks out to me, and I don't know why it bothers me more than most, but these teams consistently are good in the margins. you watch them on special teams, and either they get a boost there or it's negligible. They don't hurt themselves on special teams. And when you're trying to get good, you can't be bad in the margins. It's just, and you watch these teams and how they do it. And the other thing is these teams don't really get penalized a lot. And so they're disciplined, they're good in the margins, and they're usually elite at one or the other. You know, KC, the way Cleveland's playing offensively right now and the way they run the ball. You look at Buffalo, the way their offense is humming right now. You look at the Rams' defense. I mean, there's usually one thing these teams do extremely well, better than their opponent on a weekly basis. So that's where I keep saying the Broncos' offense needs an identity. And defensively, they need playmakers. You watch these games and you see playmakers on defense. Broncos didn't have enough of that last year.
As we were watching Vic Fangio invade Frank Reich's body over the weekend, were you struck, like I think so many of us were, how are these football men, how are these people who have been around the game forever, how are these supposedly smart people making some of the most head-scratching decisions we've ever seen?
They just get so, from my experience, and I don't know Frank, right? I mean, I met him at the Combine, but in my experience with football is that their just default is to be conservative. And think in terms, and we, you know, we've had this issue with Coach Fangio, where you just think in terms of stops. If we get stops, it's like in the modern NFL, the game has changed so much to where if you risk giving the ball back to the other team, you might not get it back for 6 or 7 minutes, and they might score. Like, there's two things that can happen. They might hold it for a long time, or they might score. And it's not 1980s football, 70s football, where you're like, yeah, we're going to get a stop. We'll get it right back. That's not the case anymore in the NFL. If you watch games on a weekly basis outside of your market, and I thought the Steelers thing was just as dumb last night when they were rolling, trying to get back into that game, and they punted on whether it was 4th and 2. And I'm like, you can't give the ball back to Cleveland right now. I mean, you just can't. If you go for it and don't get it, who cares? You were going to probably lose anyway, but giving them back the ball almost assured you were going to lose. And you're asking a defense that literally can't stop anyone. You know, it's like Swiss cheese. It stinks and has holes, and they're going to get a stop? Like, that's the part I don't understand. When your defense is struggling and you don't go for it, do you think that's somehow going to motivate your defense to get a stop? I don't get that part at all.
All right, Troy. Hey, man. Have a great week. Thanks for jumping on. Appreciate you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
All right, Troy Rank, we'll talk to him again on Wednesday and Friday, so look forward to that. He joins us, presented by ROX, Rocks Heating and Air.